Well, we are in the right place and the right time. I believe that. Let's pray once more, all right? Well, Father, we know that you are a good God, that you have good things in store for your people. And I pray, Father, that tonight, Lord, we would just hear a good word. Lord, that we might be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, and rise up to do all that you have called us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, I shared a message with you that he still has a plan. And we're just going to kind of continue on in that direction. Listen, no matter what has happened, God still has a plan. His plans for you are not automatic, as some religious people contend or pretend. We have to pray for his will to be done, and we have to get with the plan of God. And that plan is always good. His plan for you is good. Psalm 34 and 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, when he says taste and see, he is saying experience it for yourself. And I'm telling you, when you experience it for yourself, you know that the Lord is good. I wish everybody knew how good the Lord is. But you know what? They don't. And not even just lost people. Most Christians have no clue how good the Lord is. It's amazing to me how that they talk about other people, sometimes people that, well, aren't good at all. And they'll say, oh, they're a good person. I've never been to a funeral of a bad person, have you? I read an obituary that somebody posted. I don't know if it was a spoof or a joke or what, but you know that it was not good. But I've never been to a funeral of a bad person yet. Oh, they were a good person. They're a good person. They're a good person. But when it comes to the Lord, people seem to be a little unclear about that. We need to know 100%. We need to know absolutely. He's perfect in all his ways, that he is good. And when you experience the Lord, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a man-made God created in our own image. I'm talking about the Lord. Then you know that he really is good. Well, how we need to always remember, the Lord is good. And he has good planned for our lives. You know, we certainly go through things that are not good, that are not part of the plan and will of God. And when something bad happens in your life, don't ever blame the Lord. And listen, especially with your mouth, don't let such a thing come out of your mouth. But don't even allow thoughts and allow that attitude to begin to form in your heart. Because let me tell you, you can blame the devil. He's your adversary. That means he's the one that's against you. But God is the one who's for you. He's not against you. No, his plans are good. And you can blame maybe your own mistakes and failures, and you can blame maybe the wrongs of others, but don't ever blame the Lord for bad things. No matter how it looks, listen, you got to know that his plans are good. If we lose that, we lose hope and give up. Psalms 27 and 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you believe that you are going to see the goodness of the Lord in your life? Now, if you're going through a season that's difficult right now, you see, you might find yourself exactly where the psalmist was when he wrote this, or what he was writing about. But he says, I would have lost heart, but I believed. I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord. You see, he believed there was something better coming. He believed that God's goodness was going to show up. He believed that God had a plan and it was good. Oh, how we need that. We need to get our faith up. We need to be expecting to see God's goodness. Believe to see the goodness of the Lord in your own life. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, we looked at this last week in the NIV, and I want to go there again. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I'm not going to take long here, but I just want to say that's a good plan. That is a good plan. His plan for you is good. But the real issue here is do we believe? If we don't believe, we will miss the plan of God. It is not automatic. Here's the plan of God, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What a plan. What a great plan. For us, what a good plan. Amen. But you won't be in that plan unless you believe. And I'm just telling you that we miss the plan. We miss the will of God when we don't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, he requires faith of us. You know, you read Hebrews chapter 11, what I like to call the heroes of faith. It lists out these great men and women of God. But so many of them, they saw the plan of God fulfilled in their life because they believed. Noah believed. And he built an ark that God told him to build. He built it by faith, and his family was saved. That was a good plan. Everybody else died. I'm just telling you, when you believe, you can see the plan of God. Abraham believed and had that promised son when he was 100 years old. The plan of God came to pass in his life. The Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho. God had a plan. And because they believed, they were willing to march around those walls and do it the way that God said to. They didn't come with battering rams and ladders. No, because they believed, they saw the plan of God fulfilled before their eyes. And I'm just telling you, the same thing is true for us, is that the plan of God will come to pass in our life, but we got to believe. We got to believe that God's plans for us are good, not to harm us, but for good. The Lord's plans for your life are good, but you'll never know it if you don't believe. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What's he going to give us? Good things. All of us who have children, we want the best for our kids. We want things to go well for our children. I mean, you know, that's the way we would have it. You know, our plans for our children don't always go the way we want them to, right? Especially when you got adult children. They got their own plans. You know what I'm saying? But every parent, well, especially this crazy time we live in, maybe I should specify, every godly parent wants things to go well for their children. We want good for our kids. How much more? This is what Jesus said. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Wow. Don't ever doubt it. Never, ever doubt it. Jesus himself said it. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? What kind of things? Good things. Good things. Now, do you give your children everything they want? I hope not. I did read an article a week or so ago that said that children who ate ice cream for breakfast scored better on tests. But we all know that children sometimes ask for things that are not good for them, that they're not ready for. You know, sometimes it may be a good thing, but it's just not time yet. Like they say, you know, Dad, give me the car keys. And you're like, no, we're not there yet. But my point is this. No, God doesn't always do everything that we tell him to do. We don't always get to have our way. But he will not hold back good things from those who walk uprightly. Listen, Jesus tells us very plainly, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? We all need to know. God wants to do something good in our life. That's his plan. God wants to do something good in our life. God wants to do something good in my life. God wants to do something good in my life. I'm saying it over and over because now I want you to say it. Say it out loud. God wants to do something good in my life. One more time. God wants to do something good in my life. Well, there's power of life and death in the tongue, so speak life. God wants to do something good in my life. Amen. You need to get a hold of that. You need to believe that God really does want to do something good in your life. Listen, if he wants to do something bad in your life, you are in a world of hurt. If God wants to do something bad in your life, you're just messed up. There's no hope, let me tell you. But guess what? He doesn't. He wants to do you good. See, he loves you. And he's a good God, and he wants to do good things in your life. I know that bad things happen, and I am not telling you that you're never going to have trouble. I tell you that Jesus said you will have trouble in this world. But I'm also telling you tonight that God wants to do something good in your life. And you need to get your faith up and be believing him and expecting him to do something good in your life. Some of you already have decided that your life is just never going to be that good. You need to change your mind. You know, sometimes we just can get a negative attitude. Like the morning when, you know, I'm walking out the door and Carmen says, "Have a good day." And I said, "I've already made other plans." Ever been there? Are you believing to see the goodness of the Lord in your life? If you're not, change your mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And by the way, I just want to clarify to you, when he says by the mercies of God, he's talking about the mercies of God he's been explaining in chapter 9 and 10. All right? And when you look at the mercies of God, he says, by the mercies of God. See, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, if we want to get our life right in the middle of the plan and the will of God, here's what you got to do. You got to turn it over to him. You got to be willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice. See, it's cheap and easy for people to just say, "I would die for the Lord." It's a totally different thing to live for the Lord, to daily die to self. Paul said, "I die daily," to die to self and instead live for the Lord, to make yourself a living sacrifice. But let me tell you, if you want to see the will of God in your life, you want to be right in the middle of God's plan for your life, you need to present yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus. I can tell you why people don't do that. You could talk about a lot of different reasons, but the bottom line is that they don't trust him. And the reason they don't trust him is they just don't really know how good he is. I want to read it to you again. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." But here's the second part of the verse. "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." As I tell you, when you trust the Lord, you're going to find yourself being blessed in the plan and the will of God. But you got to be willing to trust him. You got to be willing to turn your life over to him. You know, most people, they do the will of God or the plan of God. They do obedience. They do it all cafeteria style. You know how that works, right? You walk down that cafeteria and you say, "Well, you know, I think I'll have some of those mashed potatoes and give me some of that chicken fried steak. No, I don't want none of those turnip greens." Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, "Well, you know, I like this part and I like that part, but you know what? I don't think I'm going to go for that part. You know, I just believe that's not really for us today." In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just letting it soak in. This old church, how we miss the plan of God when we start cafeteria style choosing the plan of God in our life. You can't date Jesus. It really has always been all or nothing with Jesus. The lukewarm make him sick. And I'm just telling you, if we want the plan of God, you got to be all in. You got to make up your mind and you got to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Next, if we want the plan and the will of God, we got to change our mind. Verse 2, "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So he's saying, stop acting like the world. And how do you do that? You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change your mind. And when we do that, you see, something happens. There's something that happens, because then he says we can prove the will of God. Now, I want you to understand, if you're in the will of God, you're in the plan of God. And if you're in the plan of God, you're in the will of God, okay? And it's important that we understand we want to be right in the middle of God's will, because that's where we're fulfilling his plan in our life. And he says, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice and you renew your mind and your life is transformed, he says, then you can prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, what's he talking about when he says prove? It's like metal is tried in a fire. That doesn't mean you try it and see if you like it. No, it means that when we do the will of God, when we renew our minds and we're living for God, then instead of living like the world lives, then the plan, the will of God separates from all the other stuff. That's what it's talking about. See, like when you purify metal in a fire, it separates from the stuff, the other stuff. And that's how the will of God is. You see, when we really renew our minds and we've presented ourselves, let me tell you, if you have made up your mind you're going to do the will of God, why would he show you the will of God? So you can tell him no. See, too many people want to play games with God. You can't play games with God. He knows. But when you prove the will of God, you really experience that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I'm telling you, so many people are unhappy or even miserable, and they think that maybe the Lord just isn't that good after all, like that preacher says. And you know what? A lot of times I want to tell people, you've tried it your way. Why don't you try it God's way? But I don't usually say that. And you know why? Because I know what their answer will be. Well, I've served the Lord for so many years. You don't know. I've been in church, and I got saved when I was a little kid, and I've always served the Lord. But they hadn't presented themselves as a living sacrifice. They still want to do it their way and pursue their own plans. And I'm just telling you, the Lord's plans are better than ours. Satan deceives, he blinds people, he binds people up, getting them to think that their plan is a better way, and that God's plan, you know, that's a bad thing. Well, you don't want to get into that, because no telling what he might have you do. You see, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. It is a matter of trust. Abraham presented his son Isaac, that promised son, he presented him as a sacrifice to the Lord. And you know the story. The Lord stopped him. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son in obedience because he believed that God would just raise him up from the dead. And I want to tell you something. God can raise your dreams up from the dead. I know some of you know these stories, but I just want to illustrate by telling you a little bit of the plan of God in my life. I'll tell you a little bit tonight of how I got here, where I'm at today. And I want to tell you, I'm a blessed man. Not because I deserve it. God is just so good. When I was 19, 20 years old and wanted to be youth pastor, God had put that in my heart. And I believed that I was going to be a junior high youth pastor at the church where I was attending and working. And the pastor and I had such conversations. But the short version of that is that I got removed out of working with the junior high by another man that was put in charge. Broke my little heart. Cried like a baby. Went off to Bible college. Came back and started youth pastoring. Met Carmen. Came to Grace as a junior high youth pastor. Now, I needed that time at Bible college. It wouldn't have happened if it went by my plans. And I know the Lord could have done it a different way, but by my plan, I don't know how I would have ever met Carmen. Best thing that ever happened to me other than Jesus. I'm just telling you, God has a plan, and it so often isn't our plan, but he knows what he's doing. We don't get to know all the details. We just have to trust him. And when I plan a trip, I say, hey, Carmen, I want to go on a vacation. You want to go? She doesn't say, well, where? She just says, yes. You know why? Because she trusts me, and she wants to go with me. Why don't we treat the Lord that way? Do you want to do my plan? Do you want to, well, what is it, Lord? Tell me what your will is, and I'll tell you if I want to do it. What is that? Just get with the plan. Just say, yes, Lord. It's going to be good. If you know how good he is, you just say, yes, Lord. Kind of works like headlights on a car sometimes, you know. They only shine so far. I mean, you can't see 3 miles with the headlights. They only shine 100 yards or 200 yards or so. But you know what? It keeps lighting up as you go. And a lot of the time, that's the way the Lord leads us. Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You see, he just gives you steps and the next step and the next step and the next step. Well, I just don't see how this is going to work. Well, just take the next step and just keep obeying God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's that trust word again. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Directs your paths. It's amazing how the Lord can just work things out, even when it seems sometimes maybe we are far from the path. He still has a plan. I just kind of burn out one time when I was working with a church and as pastor, and wanted to leave. And the Lord told me not to. And so I stayed. 6 months later, I felt released in my spirit to go, and I did. And make this long story a little shorter. There was almost a year that I was not employed full-time in ministry. And I did finally get that job offer. I've told you this, but I made $6 an hour being the secretary receptionist at the church. A few months later, they hired me as the youth pastor. And then something amazing happened. So at 41 years of age, I got to be the youth pastor to my own children. And I'm just telling you, that is an amazing thing. And looking back, I wouldn't take anything for that. I would get down on my knees and grovel and take that $6 an hour. I'm telling you, I would do it all over again because God had a plan. And I believe that I'm still seeing the blessing of God's plan today for what he gave me then. Just telling you, God has a plan, and so often we think, Lord, you messed up. You got the plan is all jacked up. You don't know what you're doing here, God. Yes, he does, and his plan is good. Don't ever be afraid of the Lord's plan. It's always good. You know, when the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, I don't want to mess with your theology too much, but he didn't say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and please let me go to heaven. Amen. That is not what he said. He said, what do you want me to do? There are people that aren't willing to obey God. It's like, what do you want me to do? We'll just keep going. I'm going to leave that alone. Acts 21, We're going to read 10 through 14. Here's a little bit of a story about the Apostle Paul. It says, "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and when he had come down to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The Lord's will be done.'" What were they wanting? Something different than the Lord's will? It is so amazing to me, you know, that the Apostle Paul, he says, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die." He was so eager to go. He was so ready to go. Listen, he's already been through stonings and whippings and beatings. All kinds of terrible things have happened to him. People think he was hard-headed. Well, he must have been, because they stoned him twice and didn't kill him. They didn't stone people for fun. They stoned them to kill them. He didn't have a martyr complex, but he wanted to fulfill the plan of God in his life. And even those that were with him, spiritual people, tried to talk him out of what he was doing. But God put something on the inside of him that he wanted to go there more than he wanted to live. "I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die." You see, there was something that God put in his heart to fulfill that plan. Now, some people, you know, it's amazing to me how foolish people get, but some people think that, oh, well, you know, that wasn't the will of God. He shouldn't have done that. No, he fulfilled the will of God and the plan and purpose of God, and he witnessed eventually to all in Caesar's household what an amazing thing God did through him. But I want you to understand this. God's plan is good. When I knew it was the plan of God for me to come back to Grace, part of me didn't want to do it. I knew that there were going to be people that hated me. And I knew that it was going to be a difficult road. And I want to tell you that it was. In the first few years, it was very difficult. And there were people who hated me and said ugly things and did ugly things, hurtful things, said bad things about my family. Lord, forgive them. But I also will tell you this. Did I do it all over again because the plan of God was so good? God has brought us into a good place. I'm telling you how blessed we are, this church family. I don't think any pastor has ever had as sweet and loving of people as I get to pastor. And that's from the bottom of my heart. I really do believe that. That's an amazing thing. Just remember the Lord Jesus. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. And I'm just telling you, you know, if God calls you to Africa, we're like, oh, I don't want to, you know, just turn my life over to God. He might call me to Africa. Let me tell you something. If God calls you to Africa, it'll be the greatest joy of your life. You won't be happy unless you're in Africa. If you've ever had the opportunity to sit down with some of our missionaries, listen, they are always eager to get back. Oh, is it hard there? Is it different? Is it weird? Does it smell? I'm telling you, all kinds of challenges and difficulties. You know what? They don't care because that's where their heart is. See, whatever God gives you to do, he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the desire to do it. He'll put it in you. But you got to be willing to trust him, to lay it down at his feet. He is not some evil personality or cosmic killjoy like religion would make you think, whose goal is to make you miserable. No, he loves you and he has a wonderful plan for you and he wants you to know it. I'm going to wrap this up. Believe. Believe. Believe that he is a good God and that his plans for you are good. Believe for those plans to come to pass. Trust him enough to present yourself as a living sacrifice. That's what I call get with the plan. Quit doing your plan and start doing his plan. Renew your mind with the word of God. Start thinking the way he thinks. See, as long as you still think like the world, you're never going to see the plan of God. You're just not even going to perceive it. No, fill your heart and mind with the word of God and start thinking like he thinks so you can prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And finally, just do it. Just do it. What do you want me to do, Lord? You just do it. Do the plan of God. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I want to encourage you. Listen, devils couldn't stop the plan of God with the Lord Jesus. They couldn't stop. Listen, devils and evil men couldn't stop the plan of God with the Apostle Paul. They threw everything they had at him. They stoned him, whipped him, beat him, put him in prison, did all kinds of things to him, but God still fulfilled his plan. And I'm just telling you, you might think that other people and bad things, they're keeping you from the plan of God. No, they're not. No, they're not. God can fulfill his plan in your life. Trust him. Trust him. His plan is good. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you that you love us so much. Lord, in whatever we face, whatever we go through, whatever the battle, there is nothing that can separate us from that love. And Father, we just pray tonight that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, may we truly be the royal subjects of your kingdom and obey you as our King, as our Lord. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just turn it over to you. We trust you, Lord, completely. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. What do you want me to do? Lord, we want to obey you. That you be glorified in us. I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you need special prayer tonight, myself or other prayer partners will pray with you. You're also welcome to just come and find a place to pray for a few minutes if you'd like to do that. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.